doesn't change the fact that I need you to do something for me.
Oh, yeah?
I need you to hack a military satellite. Rihanna laughed, her perfect white teeth gleaming.
Is that all? How come you never give me any of the easy jobs?
Aaron fired at a weird-looking Zargek just beside Rihanna's boot. The thing looked like it was halfway between its larval stage and some weird second stage. Bits of carcass and legs and gunk flew everywhere, some splattering on Rihanna's boot. The private grimaced. Aaron shot it again, just for good measure.
That's because you're special.
Aaron grinned as Rihanna made a face and tried to shake the muck off her boot.
Can we get out of here and into the comm room so we can at least close the doors? I can't hack shit with these things nipping at my ankles.
Rihanna started to move, but Aaron grabbed her arm.
Wait, she hissed.
She listened carefully. The loud thumps and crashes had ceased. She heard only the skittering of the larvae. The sounds of a titanic struggle between Cordolian and Zargek had disappeared. That meant one of two things.
Wait here.
Aaron held up a hand and crept up to the doors, gingerly placing her hand against the door panel. With a whoosh, the doors slid open, revealing carnage inside. The first thing that hit her was the smell. It was absolutely putrid. Yellow, gooey stuff was splattered across the communication equipment, and black chitinous limbs lay on the floor, severed from the Zargek's body, which was motionless, a dagger protruding from its black triangular head.
Rickle?
Her voice was tinged with dread.
I'm fine, he called out,
but he sounded like he was in pain.
He's alive, thank the fucking stars.
Aaron looked down and saw a trail of black liquid on the floor. It began as droplets, turning into pools and streaks. She followed the trail with her gaze. The black stuff seemed to be moving, sliding towards the naked being slumped in the corner.
Rickle!
She rushed over to him, dropping to her knees beside him. His weapons were scattered around him, and there was a large wound in his chest. The black stuff was his blood. Cordolian blood was dark, and it smelled bitter. He looked up, a crooked smile crossing his lips.
Be a sweetheart and get that for me, will you?
Get what?
Aaron was dumbfounded that he could be so nonchalant when he was lying seriously injured on the floor. Rickle waved the severed stump of his left arm in the air.
That thing over there, my hand.
Aaron followed the direction of his gesture and saw his silver hand lying in a pool of black blood. She opened her mouth, but no words came out. Her horror must have been clearly written on her face, because Rickle regarded her with warmth in his eyes.
Don't look at me like that, he said gently. It's just a flesh wound. All I need to do is stick it back on.
Stick it back on.
Aaron shook her head in disbelief as she reached out and gingerly picked up Rickle's severed hand. It felt strangely warm and familiar, even though it was detached from his body. As if in a trance, Aaron passed the severed extremity to him. It was gruesome and surreal, and Rickle's tender smile only made the situation seem ridiculous. How could he be smiling and relaxed and cocky at a time like this? He took his hand from her and pressed it against the stump on his arm. Aaron's eyes widened as his skin started to knit together, those weird little black dots swarming up and down as if they were somehow repairing his flesh.
Nanites, Rickle said,
as if that explained everything. In a couple of minutes, he was able to move his fingers.
"Holy hell," Erin whispered, unable to hide her shock.
Just when she thought she'd seen everything, she'd witnessed Rickle's amputated hand heal itself, as if he were some kind of Frankenstein from beyond the stars.
"I told you, I'm a bit of an abomination."
Rickle made a fist, testing his hand.
"It will take a while for me to regain full strength in this hand, but at least it's back on."
"What does it take to kill you, Rickle?" Erin murmured, not really expecting an answer. She was just expressing her disbelief.
"Beats me," Rickle said, propping himself up on his elbows.
Erin did a double take. "Why are you naked?"
"Healing," he grunted.
The terrible wounds in his chest were almost completely patched up now. His body was repairing itself right before her very eyes.
"Right."
Erin's eyes wandered. She couldn't help it. Injuries aside, Rickle was everything she'd hoped he would be, and more.
"Wait a minute. What exactly were you hoping to see, Sergeant?"
He was silver, chiseled perfection. He was a living, breathing sculpture, from his generous shoulders to the defined lines of his abdominal muscles to his, rather generous endowment. Said endowment was rather, erect. Erin couldn't stop staring. Responding to the direction of her gaze, Rickle's smile grew even wider.
"Impossible bastard."
He sat there, surrounded by his own blood, healing from gruesome injuries, and yet he somehow managed to look like an Adonis from ancient times. A Renaissance sculpture brought to life, complete with fangs, elf ears, and out-of-this-world nano-modifications. He was grinning at her, not at all bothered by his nakedness. "Cocky bastard."
"Ahem!"
Rihanna's nervous voice made her turn towards the doorway. Her dark eyes were wide with fear, and her arms trembled as she raised her bolt gun.
Sergeant, what's going on?"
Rihanna, too, was staring at Rickle. Feeling strangely protective, Erin shed her flight jacket and draped it across Rickle's nether regions.
"Rihanna," she said gently, "he's not a threat to us. Put the gun down."
"He's the one I told you about," she whispered. "The one who..."
"I know."
"I'm going to call for backup."
"Don't bother, Rihanna. Just get your ass into the chair and do as I asked, or we're all fucked."
"But..."
"That's an order, Rihanna." There wasn't time for freaking out, or screwing around, or ogling naked Cordolians. Although the latter two options were mighty tempting.
Chapter 13.
"I'm in."
Rihanna swiveled in her chair, glancing warily at the Cordolians before she met Erin's gaze.
"Patch me through to the FSS Marsha," Erin said.
"You want me to connect you to a military warship?"
Rihanna said in disbelief. She was speaking in English, so the Cordolians couldn't understand. There were two of them now. Rickle had called for backup, and some other Cordolian had shown up, a real cold fish with strange ritual scars on his face, who had barely spared them a glance. Erin didn't even know what he was called. The newcomer spoke exclusively in Cordolian and paid attention only to Rickle, speaking in a low, sarcastic tone. Rickle was smiling as his buddy injected him with some mysterious substance, but the new Cordolian's expression never changed.
If I get hauled before the Infotech court again, they'll suspend my rank and send me to prison, Rihanna complained. You're acting under orders, Aaron said. When they court-martial you, just say I held a gun to your head. She shot a meaningful glance at the dead Zargek, and Rihanna followed the direction of her gaze. I'd rather serve a cryo sentence and get a dishonorable discharge than be taken down by one of those. You get my drift? I hear you, sister. Rihanna sighed, running a hand over her shorn hair. One illegally hacked, top-secret military comm coming right up. Thank you, Miss Genius. If I was a genius, then I wouldn't have been caught in the first place and coerced into military service. Rihanna's fingers flew over the input pad, and moments later, the comm line opened. When it came to anything involving the networks and hacking, Rihanna truly was a genius. She made it look so easy. And there you are. You don't have any spare juvie sticks, do you? You know I gave up years ago. Aaron shook her head as they swapped places, Aaron sliding into the seat in front of the holoscreen. A spine-chilling scraping sound echoed through the room, coming from above. Not now, Aaron groaned. Rian, stay by my side. Don't go anywhere. She faced the holoscreen. FSS Marcia, this is the Hendrix 2, requesting urgent assistance. I repeat, this is a distress call. Patch me through to command. There was a pause, and then crackling static. Hendrix 2, your request is in breach of Federation protocol. This is an unsanctioned communication. You are ordered to clear the line immediately. The voice that greeted her was monotonous and lifeless. Anger surged through her, but Aaron suppressed the emotion. She'd been expecting this. Listen, asshole, you tell General Varga that her daughter's trying to reach her, that it's a life-or-death situation, and that if she doesn't get on the line right now, she might never speak to me again. There was another pause. It seemed to drag on as the air was split by those awful, harsh scraping sounds. Aaron wondered whether her mother was cold enough to cut her off. Sergeant Varga, what's the meaning of this? The holoscreen flickered, and General Allison Varga appeared. Behind her, the lights of the FSS Marcia's command center winked as military personnel swarmed all over the place. Mother... Aaron tried to ignore the small lump that had formed in her throat. The general stared back, her steel-gray eyes revealing not even the slightest trace of emotion. Above Aaron's head, the scraping noise had turned into loud tapping. Oh, fuck, Rihanna whispered, drawing her bolt gun. Aaron couldn't see what was going on behind her, but there were two Cordolians in the room. She prayed the cold-eyed newcomer would prove to be every bit as protective as Rickle. There was a crash, and Rihanna screamed. Aaron, what's going on? Her mother's voice turned sharp. So, now you're concerned, Aaron began bitterly. She glanced behind, saw a Zargek claw penetrate the roof, and saw the cold fish guy draw his twin swords, preparing to face it head-on. Rickle appeared at her side. Rihanna swore in English, and Aaron turned back to her mother, swallowing years of resentment. They hadn't spoken in 2 years, but now was not the time. I really, really hate to play the mother card, but it's kinda urgent. She waved a hand at the scene behind her, just as the fully-sized Zargek smashed through the ceiling, shrieking loudly as it met the twin swords of the nameless Cordolian warrior who had donned his full armor. Rihanna fired a few bolts at it before Rickle placed a hand on her trembling arm. See what I mean? Her mother's entire body radiated tension. Aaron, get the hell out of there now! And go where exactly? As long as we're on this freighter, we've got nowhere to go. These things can cut through metal and survive without oxygen. They're practically invincible unless you're a Cordolian. Meanwhile, the Federation are wasting fucking time debating useless politics in that little bubble of theirs. We need a mass evacuation, General Varga. I'm asking you as a peacekeeper and as a daughter. So, what are you going to do, Mother? A glob of foul-smelling yellow gunk landed on the input pad, just as a bit of chitinous exoskeleton whizzed past Aaron's face and lodged itself in a nearby wall with a thunk. As Aaron looked back in alarm, Rickle's hand whipped out and snatched another bit of insect shell out of the air just before it hit her. "See what I mean?" Aaron watched her mother's face as the stern woman stared at her, the fine lines at the corners of her eyes growing deeper as she tried to come to a decision. Allison Varga gave away nothing, and for a heartbeat, Aaron worried that her mother would condemn her and her people to die in the cold vacuum of space. Everything General Varga did was calculated, even when her own daughter was involved. Rickle grunted as he threw his large dagger, helping his buddy out in a difficult spot. The Zargek shrieked again, the sound so loud and horrible that Aaron cringed, a feeling of impending doom washing over her. Her mother's eyes widened.
"These Cordolians are... protecting you?"
"Yeah, it's like I told the committee. They're the only ones who can handle these things." The general took a deep breath, closing her eyes. Aaron wondered whether her mother was going to be the next in a long line of official humans who didn't fucking listen to what she was saying.
"Hold on, Aaron," General Allison Varga said softly. "I'm on my way."
Chapter 14.
"We're going," Rickle snapped, grabbing Aaron's wrist and pulling her up out of her seat. There was no way he was letting her remain here while Kale went at it with a fucking red stripe. The red stripe running down the front of the Zargek's head marked it as one of the oldest and most dangerous of its species. Kale was uninjured and itching for a fight, so Rickle left him to it, even though his blood sang with the need to kill something.
"Wait, I need to put out an announcement."
Aaron bent over and pressed a button, although she didn't try to release herself from Rickle's grip. She blinked, furrowing her brow, an expression that Rickle found rather delicious.
"Actually, forget about it. If I announce it now, it will just cause chaos down below. I'll wait until the cavalry gets here."
Rickle had no idea what she was talking about, and he didn't care.
"Come, Aaron."
He pulled her out of the way just as one of the Zargek's severed limbs crashed into the instrument panel, sending sparks flying. Her friend had curled up into a ball, trying to shield herself from the debris.
"Come on, Rihanna."
Aaron steadied herself, dragging her friend along as Rickle positioned himself behind them, his longsword drawn. Together, they exited the room, Rickle nodding at Kale as he backed away defensively. That was two fucking favors he now owed the big guy. The plasma protein shot Kale had given him had reinvigorated his nanites to the point where he was able to maintain a full bodysuit of armor again, although he wasn't 100% healed, and he wasn't sure he could take another Zargek claw through his sternum. But if that was what it took to keep Aaron safe, he would do it and deal with the consequences later. The women started to run towards the elevator, but Rickle touched their shoulders, causing them to whirl. Aaron frowned. The other one, Rhea something, just looked at him as if he were the most terrifying thing in all of the nine galaxies. Clearly, this one believed all the stories about his kind, which were mostly true anyway.
"No elevators," Rickle snapped. "They're swarming with the things. Let's find another way. After you, ladies."
He gestured with his hand as if he were some stuffy noble in the Kithian court. Aaron looked back at him, and her blue eyes were calm. In the midst of all the chaos, she rewarded him with an expression of trust.
That look sent a jolt through Rickle, because no creature had ever looked at him like that before. Suddenly, he felt stupid for cutting her off in his moment of weakness when he'd experienced that terrible flashback. He felt stupid for being cold to her. And he wanted to take her into his arms and cherish her. He wanted to tell this brave, fragile female, who had proven herself to be so much more noble than he could ever hope to be, that her world was not collapsing, and that her green and blue oasis of a planet would be safe from the Zargak, and the likes of him. But, of course, he couldn't guarantee that. In the big, bad universe, nothing was guaranteed. "Let's go, Rion!" Aaron shouted, dragging her friend by the arm as they started to run in the opposite direction. "We'll take the emergency stairs."
"Let's do that," Rickle agreed, following them towards the stairwell.
His booted feet crunched Zargak larvae as they ran, and several times he had to draw his plasma gun and pick them off, leaving bits of gunk and shattered carapace in his wake. They reached a red emergency door with odd human language script emblazoned across it, with a strange triangle symbol. Aaron slapped her palm against the panel and began to enter the dark cavity, but Rickle stopped her, shaking his finger.
"No, I go first. The only place these things can come from is below."
"Are you sure? I mean, you've just recovered from all that..." Rickle flexed his left hand, making a fist, then releasing it again.
"Good as new," he informed her.
Aaron shook her head, a slight smile tugging at her lips. The sight warmed Rickle's heart, even as the Zargek larvae swarmed around their feet, and he heard the sounds of brutal combat echoing from the comm room. Fucking Red Stripe. Kale could handle it, though. Like all of them, he relished the fight. The reclusive warrior was a grumpy bastard at the best of times, and when he'd come up to give Rickle his plasma protein injection, he'd told Rickle he was a fucking idiot for consorting with humans. Hey, they weren't all as warm and fuzzy as Rickle was.
"Follow me," he said, peering down the stairwell into the darkness below.
There was a clear route down to the lower levels. He drew his sword and started down the metal ladder, which groaned and creaked under his weight. This freighter really was an oversized piece of junk. Aaron went after him, still carrying her pack over one shoulder, although her rocket launcher thing had been left behind. It started to slow her down, its bulk rubbing against the narrow walls of the stairwell shaft.
"You need to lose that," Rickle called.
She hesitated, then shrugged the thing off.
"Ah, fuck it."
She let it drop, and it fell down the shaft, landing with a dull thud somewhere in the darkness below. Rickle glanced up. The other human had followed them too, but his eyes were only for Aaron. From down here, he had a good view of her legs and ass. She had such muscular, shapely calves. They flexed as she climbed, clearly outlined under the thick black material of her suit. His eyes traveled up to her lean thighs and her beautifully rounded ass. This view was like a gift from the goddess herself. Rickle savored it as he descended, his erection pressing painfully against the rigid plate of his armor. Her scent drifted down to him, driving him just a little bit nuts.
"Aaron," he said,
resisting the urge to reach up and caress her magnificent calves.
"Where are we going?"
"Docking levels. If there's going to be a retrieval, it will be orchestrated from there. We need to figure out an evacuation route from the central to lower decks and make sure there aren't any Zargek waiting in the wings." She'd flicked on that little blue light at her wrist again, illuminating the shaft in artificial light. There were markings on the walls, indicating the levels of the ship.
you know, you're driving me nuts right now.
Excuse me?
Aaron paused. Above her, the other human made a little choking sound in her throat. Rickel wished they were alone right now, but it was good that they had company. It kept him somewhat decent.
I'll explain further when we're alone, he said teasingly, as they continued their downwards climb.
Humph.
Aaron said nothing. She just aimed a little kick in his direction, her boot grazing the top of his knuckles. Rickel grinned. He liked teasing her. Her surly response energized him, because he knew she was trying to hide her true feelings. He'd seen how she'd reacted when he'd been naked in the comm room, his nanites having retreated into his body to repair his severed organs. Being injured hadn't stopped his dick from working, and Aaron had noticed. Oh, how she'd noticed. She hadn't been able to tear her eyes away. And that had made him feel fucking brilliant, even with the severed left hand and a hole in his chest. They passed a few more levels, and every step was torture for Rickel, because each step seemed to make his dick harder, until he feared he would explode if he didn't get release.
Soon.
Soon he'd get his way with her. Rickel clenched his teeth, trying not to lose focus as they continued their descent. He wrinkled his nose as a strange smell permeated the air, and moments later, Aaron and her human companion started to cough. The scent was unpleasant and harshly chemical, but Rickel's biologically enhanced lungs weren't as sensitive to such things. Whatever it was proving harmful to the humans.
"It's a gas leak," Aaron coughed, holding her hand over her nose. "Wait, Rihanna, what the fuck?"
The other human slumped, losing her grip on the ladder. She started to fall. Aaron reached out to catch her with one arm, grunting with exertion, but it wasn't enough. The unconscious human fell through her arms.
"Rickel, do something!"
She coughed again. He caught the human by her arm. Her limp legs dangled as he held her out over the empty space. That's when Aaron began to waver.
"Open the doors, Aaron."
She managed to pull the manual release lever just before she passed out, her fingers slipping away from the metal rung of the ladder.
"Cain's balls,"
Rickel swore as Aaron began to fall. Without thinking, he stabbed his sword into the wall and snatched her with his free hand, grabbing her by the leg. She swung upside down, her body bumping gently against the ladder with a soft clang. Rickel grunted in frustration, annoyed that he hadn't been able to catch her perfectly. As he started to feel a bit lightheaded, he activated his helm. The nanostructures formed a porous network that was able to filter microscopic particles out of the air, and he breathed a little bit easier, although he was starting to fall backwards. With two unconscious human females dangling from his hands, he only had his legs free. Rickel's mind raced. He could drop the other human and rescue Aaron, but when she came to, Aaron would be annoyed with him. He sensed the two females were friends, and he didn't want to destroy the small amount of trust that had flourished between him and his Ashika.
Fuck it.
In one fluid motion, he fell so that he was dangling upside down, with his legs hooked over the ladder rung, like some fucking Veronian acrobat. Holding a human in each hand, he was the only thing standing between these women and certain death, and he had to hurry. If they were this sensitive to the gas, there was a chance it was harmful to them. Time was critical.
Fuck,
Rickel growled. He was completely exposed. If a Zargek came across them now... He had to get the humans out of the shaft. Above him, light filtered in through the door Aaron had managed to open before she passed out. He couldn't see her face.
She was hanging upside down, and his hand was clenched tightly around one of her calves. If only he could reach the fucking doorway. He needed to be about 4 rungs up to get there, and he was all but immobilized. This was going to be a pain in the ass. Rickle raised himself up from an upside-down position in an extreme version of a sit-up, his powerful abdominal muscles flexing as he managed to get his torso horizontal. He slowly extracted one leg from the ladder and planted his foot against the wall. His knee was bent all the way up, but if he extended his body, he could wedge himself in between the 2 walls of the shaft. Taking a deep breath, he removed the other leg from the ladder. For a moment, he lost his balance and started to slide down, but when he straightened out, planting his other foot against the wall with a sharp crack, he was able to hold. Of course, he did this while holding on to the 2 humans. Slowly, he began to climb up the shaft, like a Cain-cursed Zargek, his back pressed against one wall, his feet firmly planted on the opposite side. When he reached the open doorway, he gently swung the 2 women out, briefly dropping back down to retrieve his sword before emerging into a dimly lit corridor. He breathed in and found that the air was cleaner here, although that putrid-smelling gas was spilling from the shaft's open doorway. Rickle turned and pulled the door closed. Exposed to fresh air, Erin began to stir. Rickle sighed in relief. Her friend was responding in the same way, her limbs moving slowly as she started to regain consciousness. Rickle dropped to his knees beside Erin, gently caressing her cheek with the back of his hand as she moved her head from side to side, mumbling something in human speak. She began to cough, her chest moving up and down as her breathing became deeper. She'd lost her jacket back in the comm room. Shortly after, she'd draped it across his naked loins. It was a nice garment. Rickle had liked how it looked on her. If he had time, Rickle would go back up and retrieve it for her. Her crystalline eyes flew open, and there was no recognition in them. Her fist flew to his face with a sharp crack, connecting with his nose. Blood started streaming down his face as pain blossomed along the bridge of his nose. He welcomed the pain, savoring it. It so rarely ever happened, but she'd surprised him. "Goddess, you hit hard, woman," he murmured, his cock feeling as if it were about to crack through the solid plate of his armor. He tasted blood on his lips and grinned savagely as he licked them. Erin fought with all her strength as he pinned her down, gently holding her wrists against the floor as he straddled her. "Calm down, Erin. It's just me." Her blue eyes fluttered in confusion. Rickle had seen this before. Low oxygen states could cause temporary disorientation. Concern for her overrode his arousal, and he pushed his lustful thoughts aside as he held her down. He was getting used to be constantly horny anyway, thanks to her mystifying presence. "It's just me," he said again, slowly this time, injecting force into his words. "You're safe with me, so relax, Ashika." He leaned in so his face was close to hers, so he could feel her warm breath feathering his cheeks. "Erin," he said gently, savoring the taste of her name as it rolled off his tongue. "Relax." Eventually, she stopped resisting. Recognition dawned in her eyes. She blinked and went still.
Rickle?
"Yes, it's only me."
"Death is everywhere," she slurred,
still not completely herself.
"This entire freighter is a floating death trap, and I've become obsessed with him."
"Who?"
Rickle's voice was sharp. The thought of her becoming besotted with another tickled his fierce killing intent.
"Death," Aaron replied, bringing her hand up to his face. She caressed his cheek with her fingers, bringing them down to Rickle's lips, which were stained with traces of his own blood.
"I never knew Death's smile could be so brilliant." Her touch was like a spark, igniting his desire all over again, stoking the conflagration to new heights. He burned with the need to touch her, aching to feel her bare skin against his. He became acutely aware of her body underneath him. His gaze was drawn to her rising and falling chest, to the sweet creaminess of her bare skin between the molded material of her black suit, to the alluring valley between her generous breasts. For once, Rickle was lost for words. All he could manage was a low, strangled expression of pent-up desire.
"Rickle?" she asked again.
"Yes."
She shook her head, realization dawning on her handsome face.
"Oh, shit!"
She was fully lucid now, and embarrassment colored her cheeks, quickly covered as she tried to sit up.
"Get off me, Rickle."
"Yeah, leave her the fuck alone, Cordolian!"
Rickle looked up. The other human stood over them, pointing a bolt gun at his head. Her arms trembled, and her eyes were wide. Rickle would usually act with extreme hostility in this kind of situation, but there was something about this scene that was faintly ridiculous, and he was so overwhelmed with Aaron's nearness that he simply laughed.
"What are you going to do with that thing, little human?"
"Get the fuck off her, or I'll shoot!"
Her voice wavered, but her aim steadied, as concern for her fellow human overrode her fear. Rickle raised his eyebrows, put his hands in the air, and slowly rose to his feet.
"I'm not going to hurt her, see? Now, may I at least help her up?"
He didn't really know why he was acting so polite. It was probably because he wanted to make a good impression on Aaron.
"It's okay, Rihanna."
Aaron was sitting up now. "Don't antagonize him. He isn't our enemy right now."
"Are you fucking serious, Sarge? He's killed half our squad."
Aaron sighed, rolling her eyes at Rickle.
"Harris is dead, but the others aren't."
They're alive?"
Rihanna regarded Rickle with a look of pure mistrust.
"Are you sure?"
"Have I ever given you bad intel, Rihanna?"
"Once or twice, maybe."
"Your memory is too sharp for your own good," Aaron grumbled, getting to her feet without Rickle's help. "You belong in an infotech development lab, not out here shit-kicking with the rest of us."
Rickle's calm buzzed. "Rih, if you're done playing with your humans, can you get your ass down here?"
"You dying, Kale?"
"Nah, but I got another red stripe in the area, and you're closest by far."
"Two in the same vicinity? Where have all these cocksuckers come from?"
"Beats me. Just get your ass down here."
Rickle hesitated. He didn't want to leave Aaron alone, especially if Zargek were crawling all over the ship. For the first time in longer than he could remember, he was torn and indecisive. Kale's grunt of pain diverted his attention.
"Hurry up, pretty boy. I've taken a claw through my gut, and this asshole's at full speed. I can only hold it off for so long. I need some recovery time, or I'm dead in the next two sieves."
"Consider it one of the two favors you owe me, Rhea."
The line went quiet as Kale terminated the calm. Rickle swore, turning to Aaron.
"I have to go," he said gently.
His brother was in danger, and Rickle knew all too well how quickly the situation could go from bad to catastrophic. He pulled out his plasma gun and pressed it into her hand.
I will be back. Use this instead of that flimsy little thing you people call a firearm. Shoot any Zargek larvae you see. If you encounter an adult, get out of there at all costs. Don't use the elevators. Don't use the emergency stairs. Check for bad air before entering any confined space. Stay safe, Aaron Varga. I will come for you.
Rihanna was staring at them in open-mouthed shock. Aaron took Rickle's gun. Same goes for you, pretty boy. Don't worry. We're on one of the docking levels. No more dodgy stairwells or compromised elevators for us. Rickle opened his mouth to protest at the name-calling. But then he realized he liked it when Aaron called him that.
Rickle!
Kale grunted over the calm, sounding as if he was at death's door.
On my way, brother.
He drank Aaron in with a longing gaze.
I'll ask one of the others to come and map out a safe exit route for your people. Make sure you get your ass onto that evac ship, woman.
He turned and ran. Chapter 15. The FSS Marsha came alongside them in the early hours of SST, also known as Standard Space Time. The warship was too big to enter the freighter's docking space. It was about one-third the size of the Hendrix II, and it packed a mean artillery of high-energy pulse weapons. Aaron watched the main docking bay through the vid feed. They'll send ordinary transports to ferry people from the freighter.
It's going to take some time, though.
What's the capacity of one of those things again, Captain?
A standard military-grade PTV?
Captain Tadeo swiveled in his chair, scratching his salt-and-pepper beard.
About 100-odd souls, depending on the model.
He laughed, a dry, bitter sound, revealing teeth stained red from years of smoking juvie.
It's going to take a while to get all these people off, Sergeant. I, for one, can't wait to get my ass on sweet earth soil again.
I hear you, Captain. Aaron leaned back, surveying the navigation room. She'd managed to track down the rest of the peacekeepers, including the leaders of the other squads. Once the word had gone around that a retrieval was happening, people had miraculously sobered up and pulled their shit together. Stand by. I think they're about to make contact. The few peacekeepers on the freighter were currently directing people down to the docks in an orderly fashion. Rickle had been as good as his word, and some silent, scary-looking Cordolian warriors had ghosted through the main elevators, giving them the all-clear before they disappeared again.
You sure the Cordolians aren't going to slaughter us like pigs as we leave the dock?
Sergeant Brosa maneuvered his large bulk around so he could get a better view of the holoscreen. Nothing certain in the universe, Aaron replied sagely, concealing her amusement as a mild look of alarm crossed Brosa's face. I don't think so, though. We're not their main priority now. Rickle would never hurt her. She was as sure of it now, as sure as day came after night. Her heart beat a little faster as she remembered their encounter in the corridor after he'd rescued them from the poison gas in the stairwell. She'd woken up in a confused daze, thinking death had come for her in the form of a beautiful reaper. She'd mumbled some stupid shit, and Rickle had grinned like an idiot, but his gaze had been so damn tender. Aaron prayed he was safe. On paper, he might be considered the enemy, but beneath that intimidatingly beautiful exterior of his, there were some good intentions, at least when it came to her.
Sergeant Varga?
Aaron blinked as the captain finally got her attention.
What's happening today, Ao?
Stand by, he said softly. The Marsha's calling.
The holo screen flashed red, alerting them to an incoming comm.
Super Freighter Hendrix 2, this is the FSS Marsha.
General Allison Varga appeared on the holo screen. She was in her full battle regalia, with various medals pinned to her breast. They glinted against the dark backdrop of her navy blue military jacket.
We are attending in response to your distress call.
If she noticed Aaron, she didn't show it. The general didn't even make eye contact with her daughter. That was the way it had always been. In the military, family ties were relinquished, and you learned quick smart that you had only one master, the Federation. Of course, it wasn't that simple in real life, but it was the reason her mother never acknowledged her when she was working in an official capacity. Aaron didn't mind. Not many peacekeepers knew they were actually related, and she preferred to keep it that way. Tadeo looked around, waiting for someone to take the lead. Aaron waved him on. As captain of the super freighter, it was his responsibility to maintain communications with other vessels, even if he was a civilian who was out of his depth.
Yeah, we need a goddamn retrieval, and we appreciate the fact that you've finally shown up in these quarters, General.
It wasn't just Aaron's imagination. There was a hard edge to his voice, as if he was pissed off. Actually, they all had a right to be pissed off. The Federation had put their lives at risk by sitting on its hands and taking its sweet time to decide whether they could accept Cordolians on Earth. They'd turned a simple situation into a complicated one, as they always did, and shown that they really didn't give a fuck about ordinary citizens. Jupiter help them if they ever had to fight a real war.
Just tell me what to do, ma'am.
Tadeo was rolling a juvie stick around in his red-stained fingers.
Tell me where you want to go, what you want to do, where you want to park, and I'll pull all the strings to make sure it happens. You just make sure you get all these people off my ship before we all turn into cockroach food or victims of the agents of fucking darkness.
To Aaron's relief, her mother didn't reprimand the man. Instead, she pinned him with a cold gray stare.
Then, let's get on with it, Captain. Just remember that if anyone from Earth Command gives you shit about breaking protocol or disobeying orders, you were acting under my orders. As for the distress call, well, we still don't know the origin of that, do we?
Her eyes flicked towards Aaron for the briefest moment. Aaron understood. And in that moment, all she thought she knew about her mother began to unravel, because, unlike the last time, this time her mother had decided to protect her.
I'm sure you get my drift. Now, let's get on with it. I'm officially assuming command of your ship, Captain Tadeo. Let's evacuate these poor bastards. We'll deal with the aftermath later.
Chapter 16. Aaron watched from the walkway as the second military transport took off, ferrying another load of people towards the FSS Marsha. The thrusters of the gray transport roared as it lifted off from the floor of Docking Bay 1, heading towards the airlock. The crowd of people waiting to be evacuated had thinned out considerably, and with every successful drop-off, Aaron's anxiety eased just a little bit more. They were doing it. They were actually getting people off the ship, saving them from this terrible, precarious limbo where shit could go down at any moment without warning. As the airlock closed, one of the navigators appeared at Aaron's side.
Sergeant Varga?
What is it? He peered down at his data pad, a frown creasing his forehead.
We've registered everyone on board, except for Seven. Show me.
Aaron looked at the list and realized the seven missing were the men from her squad, the ones Rickle had beaten up and locked in one of the lower cargo holds.
Shit.
With everything that had happened, she'd forgotten all about them. They had been stupid and disobeyed her orders, but they were still members of her squad, and she had a duty to get them off, just like everyone else. Everyone fucked up from time to time. It didn't mean they deserved to get left behind. Poor deceased Harris was another matter, but he'd stood on the tail of the tiger, and Aaron couldn't rescue people from their own arrogance.
I know where they are, she told the navigator. I'm going to have to go and get them. How many more retrievals until everyone's off?
After this one, three more.
The cargo hold wasn't too far from here. Aaron could run across, unlock the cage, and bring her men back without too much fuss, and plenty of time to spare. She should probably bring some backup, just in case Zargek were swarming down there. But if they encountered any mature ones, she'd be fucked either way. Part of her wished Rickle was around. Death was most reassuring when he walked by your side. Aaron was contemplating who she should round up for this little mission when the emergency lights of the airlock flashed red. She nodded in its general direction.
What's going on?
I don't know.
The navigator inclined his head, pressing a finger to his comm as he received a communication from the bridge. He started to back away.
We have to get out of here.
Explain what you just heard.
They're being attacked by something with enough power to breach the transport's hull. They're losing cabin pressure.
Zargek. They were everywhere, and they tended to show up at the most inconvenient times.
Some very dirty swear words ran through Aaron's mind, but she held her tongue. A great boom shook the dock, causing both of them to stumble and grab the railings as people below screamed. It was the sound of a pulse weapon discharging fire.
"Are they fucking crazy?" Aaron gasped. They couldn't just shoot at them, even if they were trying to kill Zargek.
Someone must have panicked. The navigator was still receiving information through his comm.
There's a monster tearing through their hull. The pulse gun didn't do anything, didn't even touch it. How the hell are they surviving in space anyway?
Beats me.
Aaron thought hard and fast. For this kind of situation, they needed a Cordolian warrior. The lethal silver aliens had turned into unlikely superheroes, but aside from Rickle, she wasn't sure the others cared enough about humans to come to their aid. They'd all disappeared into the shadows without explanation, and Aaron and the rest of the crew had no way of locating them or contacting them. Perhaps they were watching her people from the darkness as they evacuated, but they certainly hadn't done anything to harm them. Surely the Cordolians had eyes on the docking bay right now. They wouldn't let humans land on this freighter without checking them out. That would go against any soldier's instincts. Aaron began to run, her boots clanging on the metal walkway as she sprinted towards a ladder that led down to the floor of the docking bay. The navigator called after her, but she ignored him. She jumped off the ladder with several rungs to go and hit the ground running, heading towards the assembly area, where the remaining Fortuna Tau workers had been waiting patiently to board the transport. They weren't waiting patiently anymore. That pulse blast had caused panic and chaos, disrupting the neatly formed queues. Some people headed for the exit, some crowded around the airlock, and others just ducked, waiting for the next blast. Aaron hoped that whoever was manning the artillery on the Marsha wasn't stupid or callous enough to fire at them again. She ran to the nearest peacekeeper, a guy belonging to Brosa's squad.
Hey, we need to get them out of here.
What?
He had to shout to be heard above the chaos.
Evacuate the dock, now.
We can't just...
You saw what just happened, soldier. We've got incoming. I'm ordering you to help me clear the dock, private.
He knew who she was. They all did. Even when everything had gone to shit, humans understood the chain of command, and if he was the plankton, that made her the prawn. The peacekeeper saluted and ran off to herd people out of the dock. Aaron found a few other peacekeepers and gave them the same orders. Eventually, the crowds dispersed.
"Get me navigation," she snapped into her comm.
"What is it, Varga?"
Captain Tadeo's voice was taut.
"It's not really a good time. I've got a compromised transport to deal with. They're going to try and make it back to the Marsha."
"No," Aaron shouted. "If they go across with the Zargek on board, everyone will die. You have to open the airlock. Tell them to come back into the dock."
"So you want us to die instead?"
"We can't afford to allow the Zargek to cross over. Bring it back in, and the Cordolians will take care of the threat."
"You sure about that?"
"Yeah."
Actually, Aaron wasn't sure of anything. She was just acting on a hunch. If she was running the Cordolian outfit, she'd have placed one or two super-powered soldiers up in the rafters to watch the humans and make sure they didn't do anything stupid.
"Anyway, what choice do we have, Captain? We can let the people on the transport die in space. We can risk the Zargek reaching the Marsha and destroying the only escape route we have. Or we can let them back in and take a chance. The only chance we really have."
Hesitation.
"That's all I see in front of us. There's no time to think about it, Captain."
Vicious cursing. Then the airlock lights flashed, indicating that it was about to open.
"Bring them back into the fold, Captain. They won't argue. They're probably losing oxygen as we speak."
"You'd better be right about this, Varga."
"I know, Captain."
She cut off the comm and stared up into the dark, cavernous ceiling of the docking bay. Although she couldn't see them, she knew a network of metal walkways existed up there, beyond the reach of the bright lights of the dock.
"Cordolian!" she yelled, as humans rushed past her, spurred into action by the threat of more terrifying pulse fire. "If you're up there, we could use your help right about now. We've got Zargek incoming."
People stared at her as if she'd gone mad. Aaron looked up into the darkness, beyond the reassuring lights, searching for a myth who could prove to be either their savior or their downfall. If they were up there, they would have heard her. She'd observed Rickle enough times to know that Cordolians had preternatural hearing. The doors of the airlock groaned, and a great shudder tore through the dock. An alarm sounded, warning bystanders to clear the area. The doors were about to open. No black-armored warriors had dropped from the ceiling yet, and they were about to encounter an adult Zargek. Aaron drew the plasma gun Rickle had given her, although she knew it wouldn't be of much use.
"What are you babbling about, human?"
A dark voice made her whirl, and Aaron found herself face to face with a towering nightmare of a Cordolian. He was all black. Even his face was hidden behind a black helm, his visor glinting in the harsh light. He was big, this one. Bigger than Rickle and most of the others. Twin swords were crossed at his back, and his body bristled with random weapons, some of which Aaron didn't even recognize.
Thank the fucking stars. "The transport's coming back into the airlock," she said. "I believe there's an adult Zargek attacking it."
The nameless, faceless, rather scary Cordolian replied with a sharp nod.
"Tell your people to close the airlock once the transport has arrived, once I'm inside," he said ominously. "I'll deal with it."
"Thanks," Aaron said, and even though he was the enemy, she meant it. "Is Rickle okay?"
she stupidly blurted out before she even knew what she was saying. The warrior stared at her through his impenetrable visor, inclining his head.
"It takes a lot to kill one of us,"
was all he said, before he disappeared in a blur of black armor and weapons. The dock was almost clear now, but the peacekeepers were having a hard time directing the remaining people towards the exits. She couldn't drag